praise God. In heaven, in my glorified state, I'll sing like you guys. That's why I kept my mic off. We want Pastor David to stay. We want Pastor Daniel to stay, and I like to stay. So I mix it up with you guys so I can sound better. Let's read together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We can please stand for the reading of the gospel. Those that may stand, stand please. Our portion today is found in Luke, the Good Doctor, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink?' He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which ought to have been done.'" Praise be to the Lord for his word. You may be seated. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Father, for this moment that you thought worthwhile before we were. Thank you for your loving kindness, Lord, that you give us your very best. Holy God, for sinful men, to transform us, Lord, from the inside out into your image and likeness, Lord. Through your Holy Spirit, your presence ever, eternally in us from now on. Oh Lord, how majestic you are. How loving you are. How intimate you are with us and through your sacraments that we will celebrate today. Thank you, Lord, for you were truly broken to build us. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you that you open up our minds and our hearts, that we receive more from you, Lord, for you are eternal. Thank you, Lord. Be with those that are sick. Strengthen them, Lord. Be with those in need of work. Provide, Lord. Be with these families, Lord, that might have children that are wayward. Be with us, Lord, that are wayward. Bring us home, that we may all glorify you, Lord. Thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' mighty name, only do we pray. Amen. Amen. Our portion of scripture today, I felt that if we just jumped right into it, we would not fully understand the portion. So I want to start off a little earlier in chapter 17, in verses 1 through 4, and then we'll go through our portion, because if not, we won't understand why the apostles are asking for their faith to be increased. The sermon, I have titled it, "Increase Our Faith." It will begin with verse 1 of chapter 17. He said to his disciples, It is inevitable. The stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. Now let's unpack this. Inevitable stumbling blocks. It's part of life. We all experience them. I've been in ministry now for almost 30 years. So this is going back some time and some are more current. A pastor's wife accused the pastor of having a mistress, and the church elders were paying for the beach apartment. Their son was the treasurer at the time, and I was the pastor's assistant elder. Stumbling blocks. Everything was cleared up, but at a great cost. That church was never the same. Within a matter of months, we were down to half the size we were. At another church, while we were preaching through the letter to the Ephesians, the pastor asked me to preach on chapter 5. His wife was not submissive to him. Neither was the worship leader to her husband. After the Sunday morning practice session, the worship leader told my youngest son, he was the bassist. We have our bassist in the back. Told my son, the bassist, that I was a Pharisee. And that she would leave and take her whole family with her if I was to say that wives were to submit to their husbands. Usually when pastors get asked and get invited to preach at other churches, is to preach on tithing. This time it was a more serious issue. At another church, I was called a heretic and told to leave for teaching the doctrines of grace by the pastor. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. And I echo you, ladies, our pastor. I was here for a few months before a group of us were kicked out. And one of us, when pastor went to meet with us, told him what had happened. And then the pastor told me, Oscar, I didn't know this had happened. And I go, yeah, pastor, that's what happened. But I was so hurt. I was so concerned for that pastor that would do that I was hoping that he would recant and better his ways. And I didn't want anybody else to know. It was just so hurtful and to see that in the body and from a pastor. And you took us in, Pastor. And we thank you and the church for taking us in. It was a very hurtful time for us. And you lovingly took us in. And just shared war stories with me afterwards, after I fessed up to you what happened. The situation at that church got worse. The pastor kept on doing other not pastorly-like things. And within a few months, he was put under warning for a year. And at that year's time, he was told to leave. And there was police outside the church to make sure that he would leave. It hurts to be called a heretic. I love the Lord. I will never do anything to hurt him or you. And that was painful. I still pray for that pastor. We're friends. When we see each other, we will say hello and all. But boy, thank you, Pastor. appreciate you and your church here. My church now. In all these situations, in all these cases, there were little ones watching. Babes and young ones in the faith. When this is addressing hurt one of these little ones, it's not our children. It's the adults that are brand new in the faith that are hurt. All these churches had major effects. That one church with the not submissive wife, within a few years, she left the house. Not even took the children. She left the pastor in the house with children. You know? And babes are watching. You see, boiling water will soften a carrot, but it will also harden an egg. We have no idea the things that we do, how it will affect people in their faith. We have to be very, very careful, especially from up here. My wife has a friend, dear friend of hers, a friend of mine too, that he saw the church pastor have an affair, and he denounced everything and became a witch. I was her co-worker. You would go to his desk, and I think a little sign, the witch is brewing, something like that. And God became a woman. But through my wife's and other Christians there, but primarily through my wife's loving witness to that young man, he's come back to the Lord. And we praise him for that. But we have to be there. We have to be there for the people. We have to be careful with what we say. We have to be quick to call out what's wrong and not compromise. But we have to be there to mend and bring people back. In verse 3 it says, "Be on your guard," Jesus addresses here. Four words, but Jesus is addressing here was in reference to the religious leaders. To the Pharisees and the scribes. Rarely did he speak to the Sadducees. God willing, in a month from now, when it's first Sunday, it's a verse that deals with Sadducees. But Jesus didn't deal much with the Sadducees. They were not even close enough to being right. They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the prophets. So they had a... Talk about going liberal. They were out there. So he rarely addresses them. He addresses the one that had all the information and should have known better, the Pharisees and the scribes. These were practitioners of false religion, graceless workers, were full of pride, and they thought God approved of their works and wanted everyone to see it. That's why they were not even the priests at times, but that's why they wore the extra large, noticeable guards with the big hats. You know? Yeah, I'd like to be as tall as Frank, but I'm not. So I'm not going to wear a big hat to be noticed. Pastor was speaking today of the symbols, and the symbols are important. I like the symbols. I like high church, but I don't impose it on anybody. And when I came here and I saw a few of the symbols, I was like, Oscar happy. Oscar happy. Last Communion Sunday, I came up and the Pharisee and me had to change, the Sunday after Communion, change the colors. And Pastor asked me to explain to the Spanish church what I was doing. I'm like, oh man, these people are more Baptist than I want to get crucified here for this. So I explained the colors. Green is for the normal season. The purple is for the high seasons. There's two more colors. There's red and white. We use it in Christmas, and we use it on Easter Sunday. So if anybody wants to make a donation and wants to sympathize with us more Presbyterians, you can do that. I asked Charles who gave us this, and it was a pastor that did a funeral service, And he went Presbyterian, right? The previous pastor, he was the one that got our colors. Why we have the cross on this side? Why we have the Bible on this side? Why the symbols say IHS, Iustus Omnes Salvatori, Christ, man, Savior. That's what those three little letters are. Why the cross on the right? Because we are God's right hand. We speak for Christ. Why some of us, like me, like to wear our clerical collar? Because we are his slave. That is a symbol of a slave, that he's got us by our throats and we preach for him his word. These are all symbols. And they have their meaning and they have their place. And by the way, that collar, that's a Presbyterian invention. That's not Roman Catholic. They liked it so much, they started using it, and then we dropped it because they were using it. And now we have our ties, which I do not like. I don't like how our ties feel. But the symbols are important, but they're not for aggrandizement. They're not for us to show off, to think that we're better than others. And that is the problem. And it can be very, very subtle. Very, very subtle. Watch. In Proverbs 16:5, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. Satan was proud. Eve was proud. And Adam with her, they all wanted to play God. Even humble Moses kept the veil to cover his face, though he shone no more. But he wanted to keep that image before the people, for them to think that he was still shining. Humility now is an organization that my youngest son set up with one of his good friends, and it was a ministry to help the homeless in downtown Miami. He was in his late teens when they did this. And sometimes, to get to know the homeless, they would spend the nights with them, getting to know them out there. And my wife and I, we would freak out. Because they would tell some cops where they were going to be in case something happened. And the cops were overlooking for them. But they named it Humility Now. That was their organization. In this message, it's really about a call for us to be humble. And Jesus was humble. To the point of the cross and to the point of being buried, turning back to dust, that doesn't get any lower than that. We are to be so, for he is our model. My son took me one night out to give food to the homeless. My son David stopped me from making the homeless we were taking night meals to aware that I had placed by his feet his meal. He said to me, "Dad, they know we are here. They sleep half awake for fear of harm. Don't humiliate them any further by letting them know you fed them." It's about being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's not about you, Dad. You see how subtle it can be? It's not about you, Dad. It's about being an extension of Christ to the needy. When I used to take my daughter out on father and daughter dates, the last date I took her out on the motorcycle, somebody crashed into the back of us. Of all places in Miami Springs, where it's ideal driving speed for Oscar, that I drive so slow. And we were hit there. I was taking her to a Mexican restaurant. It was a date, a father and daughter date. The man hit us from behind very slowly, but hit us and tossed my daughter to me and back. And she fell out, and I tried to straighten out the bike so it wouldn't land on her. and then put a bike to the side and got her to stand up. And I asked, "Are you okay?" She said, "I'm okay, Dad. I'm okay, Dad." And I rushed to the driver that had hit us. And he was like your size. And I grabbed him. And my daughter stuck the little plastic Eoxy symbol that I had on the backlight of the motorcycle, which I crashed into pieces, but the little Eoxy fish sign. Nicholas, your size. I'm sorry, I pointed at you, didn't mention your name. It was about Nicholas' size, and I went to grab the guy by the shoulders. I wanted to hit him. He had hurt my daughter, my little girl. And my daughter got between us and stuck the little Eoxy sign in my face and said, "Dad, we're okay. God is taking care of us. Dad, I apologize to that man. I was about to hit him." And he said, "I'm sorry. I just did a double shift and I dozed off and I hit you. I'm sorry." It can be so subtle and we can do so much damage. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before the destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling." We need to be careful. Habakkuk, which was our second reading, 2:4. "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith." The righteous will live by faith. Our readiness to forgiveness is a powerful fruit proof of our Christ-likeness. 7 times of forgiveness for repentance. This is what our scripture is telling us today. Speaks of an innumerable times of forgiveness. Peter was told 70 times 7 Peters. Notice the 7, the perfection of God. Michael Card explains that Christ phraseology in Greek, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," was said numerous times, over and over again. This is what the Reformation is all about. The just shall live by faith. Calvin said that the human heart was an idol factory and that the Christian life was a life of repentance. Luther's statement, "Simul justus et peccator," was the real hot point of contention with the papist, that we are at the same time righteous and sinner. That disabled Rome's meritorious money-making scheme and demonstrated her false religiosity. This humbled the apostles when Jesus put the standard so high. This humbled the apostles to recognize their lack of faith for their ability to forgive. That is most godlike, when we forgive like God forgives. Even after 3 years of learning from the Lord, they lacked, and so they asked. Verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a little mustard seed, you would say to the mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Mustard seeds are the tiniest seed for their region. Yet the tree would grow to 12 to 15 feet in height and width from a very tiny little seed. See, it is a growing faith that Christ is talking to us about. We do not stay stagnant. Living waters, they move. Mustard tree, they're huge. They grow from a little seed. It is a growing faith that he is continually speaking to us and growing us in. The mulberry trees, some of the rabbis say that they can be up to 600 years old. Can you imagine that root system that those trees had, uprooting that? God is saying this so that we can understand how the faith that he gives us works. And Jesus transitions here from faith to obedience. This is how we act out our faith. Because only by the gift of faith can we obey. Verse 7, Which of you having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which he had commanded him to do, right? Verse 10, so you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which ought to have been done. Because he has saved us not only from his wrath, but also from ourselves, for himself. We can do all things by his gift of faith. Listen to Paul. This is how he puts it in what was our third reading from 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 14. This is from the pastoral letters. 6 through 14 of 1 Timothy, of 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. First chapter 6 through 14. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. The Apostle Paul was an apostle, and he says he was the last of the apostles, and one untimely born. Timothy was laid upon hands, and he was not an apostle. Church, Paul is the last apostle. He does not transfer that. When you hear these churches that say apostle so-and-so, apostle so-and-so, they're starting off with a lie before your very face. Imagine how the rest of that will go. Paul is the last apostle. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of his prisoner. Paul was in prison at this time. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. You see that? I'm not a heretic. From all eternity past, his works, not ours. That's why we don't make invitations here. We don't tell you, God is knocking at your door if you open a door. No, he was addressing a church, not a person. What we do is the Great Commission. We proclaim the gospel, and the elect from eternity past, so it's none of their works either, will respond. For he builds his church, not us. It's his church. We defend it. But it is his church from eternity past. Verse 10, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's the gospel, his gospel, never our works. It's the gospel. Verse 11, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. He was appointed. He does not call himself an apostle. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I am not convinced that he is able to guard what I am not convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words. See? Retain the standard. That's to us. That's to all pastors. This is transferred down to all us pastors. Retain the standard of sound words. You see, it's still words that we hear. It's still words that we proclaim to you. It's all his word. For he puts his word above his name. Hashem, his fame, what he has done and is doing. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. There is the faith in his word. It is his word of faith. Verse 14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Today, we have the Eucharist. Today, we have the Lord's table. And on your bulletins, if you picked it up, I don't know in Spanish, but I saw it in English. We have flat bread. Broken flat bread in a little cup of wine. Why flat bread? Because it is absent of yeast. It is absent of sin. It is the symbol for the absence of sin. It is the symbol for Christ. Flat because it was not puffed up. Though being God, he was not puffed up. He took our place. We are not to be puffed up. We're not to think higher of ourselves. We are to be humbled. Flat bread. And if you look at that bread, it's pierced on the top and it's lacerated by the oven on the back, just as our Lord was on that cross. Don't puff up. Be humble. He was broken for us, to build us, to nutrition us, as Pastor said earlier. Let's please stand. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. May the Lord God, the Father, bless you and keep you. May Christ lift his face before you and give you his Holy Spirit. Now go and serve your Lord. Amen.